Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Okay, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Chris Woodward now joining us.
Good morning.
How you doing, Brother Chris?
I'm doing well.
Ed's here with me. Tim Wildman, we thank you for listening. Okay, on the presidential debate tomorrow, I saw something where people were going to have, I don't know if they're going to have drinking parties or what, where they, and I don't advocate this at all by any means, but they take a drink after one of the presidential candidates say something that they expect them, that, you know, words are expressions that they use all the time. You shouldn't like, remember the old Bob Newhart drinking? I didn't do it, people, so don't, and I'm not advocating drinking alcohol. I'm just saying.
When they use the kind of pet phrases?
Yeah. So even if you don't partake of the adult beverage, I'm saying there's a couple of phrases that Biden uses often that I'm gonna be charting.
You're gonna be charting?
Yeah.
I'm gonna eat a pizza roll every time he says what?
Well, you're gonna put on some pounds, my friend. If you're gonna do this, come on, man.
I'll be
come
drinking on, Dr. Man. Pepper That's... out of the
Biden's
machine.
Biden's gonna say, "Come on, man," probably 3 times.
Malarkey.
He likes malarkey, doesn't he?
He does like malarkey, which doesn't make him look old, does it? Malarkey.
That was a question.
Now another expression that he uses that's irreverent, to say the least, is he'll say, "What in God's name?" Mm-hmm. He says that at least when he really gets frustrated. He's going to say probably that about Trump and the coronavirus situation.
Right.
Right.
Like, what in God's name is he doing? Now, you think that's using the Lord's name in vain. From a theological Christian perspective,
yeah, that's blasphemy.
Biden doesn't think that. Well, I don't know if he thinks that or not, but so he'll say the expression like that, "Come on, man." Malarkey, you said. What will Trump say? No, another one for Biden is look.
Yeah.
Look means for Biden, look means I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sidestep.
So I'm just saying tomorrow when he says look, then whatever follows is kind of like, I can't answer this question. I'm going to fill in the blank here with something that makes no sense at all, but at least sucks up about 2 minutes of time.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, what's President Trump, what's his favorite saying?
Well, when it comes to Joe, it'll probably be Sleepy Joe.
I don't think he uses that tomorrow night.
And then also fake news.
Oh, yeah, that's
a big one. No. If I'm advising Trump, do not use the expression Sleepy Joe in a debate. This is a serious, this isn't a campaign rally. This isn't, a campaign rally when you want to poke fun at your opponent and call him something like Sleepy Joe.
I think he's got to limit his insults.
It's fairly innocent. But you do that on a president. His advisors are going to say don't do that on in a debate situation one-on-one.
Those are the two that come to mind, though.
Is what?
Sleepy Joe and fake news.
He probably won't say fake news to Chris Wallace, but if Chris Wallace brings up like the New York Times piece – or the Atlantic, you know, or something like that. He'll say, "Look, that's just fake news."
Now, he does use the expression "look" as well. Look. And then and the hands start flying out.
Yeah.
Trump, I'm talking.
You're going to hear quite a bit of
"look."
Greatest, biggest.
Okay, you seen greatest and biggest?
Oh, yeah.
Best.
Yeah, you'll get
greatest,
you'll get,
biggest, best, yeah. Huge.
You know,
huge.
Another one from Biden that comes to mind. Democrats are notorious for beginning a sentence with let me be clear. So we'll hear that.
That is true.
They begin tweets, they begin speeches, they begin things that have not yet been invented with "let me be clear."
Let me be clear. Yeah, Biden will probably say that a couple of times as well. Well, it's tomorrow night. What time is it, Chris?
It'll be prime time, 8 to 9:30, I believe.
Central.
I'll be here covering it with Fred Jackson.
I think it's 9 o'clock Eastern. Is that right?
Yes. 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central.
That's another thing. What time does Biden go to bed?
Well, not until 10:30 p.m.
But what if
Eastern
you're used
time?
To going to bed at 9? And that's mid-debate. I'm just saying, does that matter?
I think he's probably adjusted his sleep schedule in preparation for that. If he's an early-to-bed person. You know, Trump, I don't know what Trump's President Trump's sleep schedule.
He does sleep. He sleeps from 1 to 4.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, he tweets early. I know that.
Yeah, and
he
late.
He tweets early and late. You're
Trump,
right.
At midnight.
Trump is a physical freak of nature.
I think you're exactly right. You've said that for a long time. His dietary habits.
Yeah, he's not known for broccoli.
Right. Yeah. No, he's not eating broccoli
he's
bites.
He's known for Big Macs and
Coke.
You know,
he drinks
fries.
A lot of Coke. That's not an ad. He likes to have a Coke and a smile from time to time.
You know, so we'll see. But tomorrow night, I think it's 50-50. Mm-hmm. The burden. Is the burden on either one of them to perform well, or else they lose the campaign momentum? I think it's the risk is evenly. Don't you? You think so?
Yeah, a bad performance by either of these two men tomorrow night
could hurt them.
Would be a serious hurt on their campaign.
I don't think it'd be a fatal blow because there's a lot of time between now and November the 3rd.
And there are technically, at least at this point, two more debates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if there's any more debates after tomorrow night.
Well, you still have the vice presidential debate coming in October. The one and only debate for people that are going to be a heartbeat away from the most powerful position on the planet.
And I'll also say this. In terms of excitement, Mike Pence and Kamala Harris, that's not going to be high on the excitement
meter. Set the diver.
They're both, let's just put it this way, they are both.
Cerebral.
Yes. Kind of boring. They're both kind of boring.
You're just going to be honest with us?
I'm just going to be honest. The kind of monotone, it'll be even keel. They're both cerebral, like you said, so it'll be substantive, but they're not, it's not going to be excitement.
Yeah, usually the undercard goes first. Is that what they call it in boxing?
Yes, the undercard. Huh? Yeah, that is the lesser.
The warm-up event.
Right.
And then the main event.
But vice presidential debates always come somewhere
in the
midst.
That's true. And they only have one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say this, as I said earlier, with Kamala Harris, she's campaigning, advertising, debating to be the next president of the United States. I think we all know this. Joe Biden maybe lasts a year if he's elected as president. Two at the most, and that's with because he is not up to the 24/7 task of being president of the United States. I don't know how anybody could disagree with that. Whether you might say, well, so what? I don't care. I'm voting for him anyway. That's fine. I'm just saying we all know what we're seeing here. Now maybe a good performance tomorrow night could help that perception of Biden. But Kamala Harris is. She's advertising to be president, basically, with the debate against Pence. When is that?
It'll be in October, mid-October.
All right.
A couple of weeks before the election.
All right. Anyway, next story.
All right. Well, you guys were talking about debate topics, and COVID-19 and the response to it is one of the things that Chris Wallace plans to ask Mr. Biden and President Trump tomorrow night.
Chris, I'm sorry, but Tim has a question.
Okay.
You said what?
COVID-19.
Okay.
Coronavirus.
A coronavirus.
Yes,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
The coronavirus disease 19 is the term. Gotcha. Somebody gave it. Some PhD gave it along several months ago.
You've never heard of it, have you?
Well, I completely missed the first 18.
No, yeah. there's different types of coronavirus, like SARS, for example, was a coronavirus. But to differentiate between coronavirus and then MERS, which was the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome when Mike Pence was governor of Indiana, they start slapping numbers on these things.
Chris is up on his syndromes.
Yes.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Chris. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh, you're fine. So Rona is a big topic tomorrow night, supposedly, on the debate. Chris Wallace does plan to ask the candidates about the COVID-19 or coronavirus and the response to it. One of the issues one of the states that people have been paying a lot of attention to in recent weeks and really months is Florida. And in the last few days, Governor Ron DeSantis there announced that his state was moving into what's called Phase 3, the final stretch of reopening. This time around, DeSantis says there's not going to be any restrictions for restaurants and businesses. to operate, or, you know, have only X amount of people in the store. I've got a little bit of a sound here. Clip 11, Brent.
Now people are saying, hey, even if there's a vaccine, it's still going to take another year before you can operate appropriately. And, you know, I don't think that's viable. I don't think that that is acceptable. And so I think that this will be very, very important to the industry. And it also will be a recognition that they have worked as hard as anybody to create safe environments. In fact, the idea that government dictating this is better than them making these decisions so that their customers have confidence, I think is misplaced. And I've gone to many restaurants over the last many months, and they take this obligation seriously. They want customers to have confidence, and so they have every incentive to want to do that going forward.
Now, I bring this up because President Trump has wanted to leave it to state and local leaders to make their own policies. Vice President Biden wants to have what's called a top-down approach, where he basically sets all the policies and everybody else has to obey, whether they
like it or not. Because he listens to the scientists.
He does.
Chris, he listens to the scientists.
Yeah, Fauci, I never said it was the end-all, be-all. But, yeah, that was Fauci back in May to Senator Rand Paul. But for some reason, we still begin sentences and headlines with Fauci says. Six months later. But what do you guys think? I mean, should restaurants and businesses be able to kind of, you know, set their own things?
So you're telling us that the Florida governor now has decided to open up everything per normal?
Yes. And what's interesting here, too, according to one news outlet, I actually heard DeSantis say this myself, his executive order or announcement opening things back up, it preempts local government's abilities to close businesses and assess fines on individuals. In other words, let's say a Democratic Party or a socialist mayor in some big city in Florida can't say, thou shalt remain closed down. Governor DeSantis says, oh, no, you don't.
I don't know. I got mixed feelings on that. I think the more local accountability for decisions, the better for a governor to overrule. But he is the governor of the whole state. Governor DeSantis, who I'm a fan of, he, you know, to do what he's doing is risky in the sense that should a coronavirus or COVID-19 start to flare up and people start dying in Fort Lauderdale or whatever, then he's going to be blamed for it. But I think he's made that calculation, and he's saying, look, I've considered all the data, and it's time for Florida to completely reopen because we've got to get back to normal, got to get back to business. And so I like that idea. I like that approach. I think it is, for the most part, America's ready to get back to normal, and we know how this virus has spread. And that's what he's saying, too, about restaurants. Restaurants got social distancing.
Right.
Now, so I don't know what more you could ask of them, you know, the restaurants I'm talking about, if you're going to allow them to be open. They're already regulating themselves for the most part. And if they're not, quote, social distancing, then guess what? When the customers go in, they can see what the situation is and make their own determination.
Yeah, I would say this. I hate that COVID-19 has been politicized. I that sounds naive. Everything's politicized during an election year. But even Joe Biden has walked back, hasn't he? He walked back his earlier statement that he would have had a national mandate from the president's office that everybody has to wear a mask out in public. He walked that back. And that, to me, is the main issue here in terms of the presidential debate tomorrow night. And that is, when you're going to tell the president that, from Joe Biden's perspective, he's going to say, the president showed no leadership. Okay, what would you have done? The president has said all along, with the exception of moves that he made that he has the legal authority to do, which is shut down flights from China, shut down flights from Europe. He did some of those things. He got the hydroxychloroquine, the FDA to approve off-label use. All those kinds of things. Get the masks going, all that kind of stuff. He had the authority to do that, but then he said, I'm letting the governors and the mayors make the decision for their own people. To me, that is the constitutional thing to do.
Yeah. Well, I do want to point out, Biden walked back his walk back about 2 weeks ago during a very short press briefing in Delaware following a meeting he had with the quote-unquote experts on this issue. Biden took a few questions from reporters. One of them was from ABC, and she asked him again about the national mask mandate. Would you, if elected, issue an executive order? And he went on to say that if we have the legal authority, and we believe we do, I will issue a national mask mandate. So he's flip-flopped and flopped, if that makes any sense, on the issue.
Yeah, also he said, remember, he said he would you shut the economy down again? He said he would. If the scientists tell him to, that he will. I think that's a loser. That could come back to haunt him tomorrow night. If Chris Wallace says, you said, sir, that you would shut down the economy again, would you do that, sir? And what's he going to say? He's going to say, well, if the data and the scientists tell us that that's the best approach, what scientists, sir? I mean, if Chris Wallace could. So I think that could be a loser. I can't think that could backfire, because I think 60, 70, 80% of the American public do not want to go back again.
Yeah. Right. And many of them are Democrats who don't want to say it as much.
Huh?
Right. Yeah, many. I mean, Democrats will be harmed by another.
We're just
going to
go on. We're going to get through this, and it's a virus, but we can't shut down the economy anymore because the consequences of that are worse than the virus.
Right.
And I think a majority, if not a vast majority, of the American public realize that.
And that's President Trump's answer.
Yes.
The scientists also say...
That's a winner for him.
Yeah, the scientists also say that it is worse to keep everybody inside, all those kinds of arguments. And I think
joblessness and what that does to people,
right.
Alcoholism, domestic abuse, mental health issues that arise from people being cooped up and losing their jobs, and because all in the name of stopping the COVID-19.
But that's what I mean. There were scientists saying that. Mm-hmm. There were scientists saying that it is worse because of unemployment and all these kinds of factors. More people will die. Remember scientists saying more people will die because they're afraid to go to their doctor.
Yeah.
They're afraid to get out of their house to get their heart checked.
Yeah.
Remember? Or to get
I think to get back to normal is a winner for Trump tomorrow night, if that's what he uses. And if Biden goes, no, wait a minute, we need to put the brakes on again, that's a loser.
Right.
With a majority of Americans.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim here with Chris and Ed. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, this story will probably result in some jokes, but it's going to happen in your neck of the woods, probably in the not-too-distant future. Maryland is set to become the first state to ban foam food service products. Beginning October 1st in Maryland, you're not going to be able to have or be served foam cups, plates, carry-out containers, and trays. This is in the interest of saving the environment, because some people say that polystyrene foam, which is not necessarily styrofoam, all that stuff's bad for the environment, quote-unquote scientists say. So Maryland's going to do something about this. And even schools and businesses are not exempt from this, but they are going to allow a one-year waiver if you can get
one. What now? Foam is bad for the environment?
Foam is bad for the environment. There has long been a claim that foam packaging, foam containers for takeout food and stuff like that, generally some people say it's non-biodegradable. Even if it is, it takes years for it to break down in landfills. It's creating a lot of waste and things like that. Starting October 1st, unless you can get a waiver allowing you more time to comply with this,
you're going to
be able to get these things.
So what are they going to replace foam with, Chris?
Well, that's a very good question.
You're talking about styrofoam now?
Well, yeah, styrofoam is a type of foam food container, but it's kind of a brand name if you want to think about it that way. Styrofoam is not the only foam container. So basically they're getting rid of all the foam takeout containers that you can find, or cups and stuff like that.
Well, to answer Tim's question earlier, you didn't hear this, Chris, I am pro-foam. Okay.
Were you sad when McDonald's got rid of the clamshell container back in early 90s? Remember,
I'm not a huge McDonald's fan, but I frankly don't remember that clamshell thing.
Yeah, it was before the cardboard container they come out with.
I think they'd just replace it with cardboard. All these places, they'll have cardboard containers.
Can you imagine getting soup in a cardboard container?
Cardboard, more trees die. Well,
that's right. That's what always happens with these pro-environment decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, just like I'm not an expert on environmental issues. I have one life, and I'm not spending the rest of it learning about the environment, okay? But my understanding is all these cities that had recycling, mm-hmm. you had the special bins, and you get a fine if you don't put it in, that was worse mm-hmm. for the environment because of all the additional trucks that had to come and all the extra, fumes and right. all that kind of stuff. And then the process of, burning up, all that was actually worse for the environment. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what's going to happen. They're going to get rid of foam. These restaurants are going to start going with the cardboard containers like you do yeah. for a Big Mac. And then for soups, you're going to have actual plastic
that you can wash
that you can wash and reuse yeah. or mm. that goes into a landfill. I think it's going to be six of one, half dozen of another. But
yeah, I'm not making this up. One of the kind of up and coming alternatives for food containers involves bamboo.
What is it, Chris?
Bamboo.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, it's bamboo.
Bamboo.
Bamboo. I'm not making it up. It's not fake news.
I'm going to bamboo business.
Yeah, bamboo. But to Ed's point, though, there is an environmental impact to trying to use more bamboo. You've got to find it. You got to ship it. You got to do all these things. And it's going to have a carbon footprint or whatever we want to call it, just like these other things.
You know, bamboo, let me just make a comment about the wisdom of planting bamboo in your yard.
Okay.
So our mutual friend, Rusty Benson, some of our listeners remember that name. He retired last year, but worked on the AFA Journal for years and years. He actually has had some bamboo in his yard. Yeah, it's ornamental, looks good. That stuff grows like wildfire. He said he'd been trying for years to keep it out of his yard he planted it.
Yeah,
it apparently just grows and grows and grows. So you could have bamboo farms mm-hmm. to replace the styrofoam or the foam, whatever. It would take over the world. So don't do it, Marilyn.
Something to think about. Hey, by the way, related mm-hmm. to carry out foods or dining.
Yes.
That you've restaurants. We were talking about Florida is opening up all their restaurants 100%.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, Allison, came up with a great idea that I want to share with the rest of the listening audience.
Yes. I'm on the edge of my seat.
We Allison and I, we do eat out a lot because we don't have any kids at home anymore.
Right.
And neither one of us particularly like to,
to cook.
Cook and then more clean up for half an hour
right. mm-hmm.
after you cook. Why do that? So when you can spend quality time gazing into each other's eyes, having good conversation. You
yes.
know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
So, but she got tired of going to restaurants and because of COVID-19,
yes.
not having salt and pepper on the table.
They don't have salt and pepper.
It passes COVID.
Oh, okay.
The shakers.
Yeah.
Because multiple people touch them, COVID is spread like crazy.
I had not noticed that. I don't use a lot of
So they bring you the little packs.
Mm-hmm.
You know the packs that they're worthless.
It's got like two sprinkles.
It takes 10 of them.
Yeah.
To,
that's why I hate ketchup
especially
packets.
The pepper. You can count the pepper.
Yeah.
There's like 8.
That's why I hate ketchup packets.
So she said, I'm tired of this. I'm going to go and buy my own salt and pepper shakers and just carry them in my purse.
I think that's a good idea.
So now people look at us with envy from other tables. They go, how did you get?
Yeah. Huh?
We can't share COVID.
Yeah, why are you privileged? No, we bought our own. Thank you very much.
Salt and pepper privilege.
That's right. All right. So we appreciate you joining us today, Chris. Appreciate
your
contributions as we do Fred's. Every day, Brett Creeley, our producer, we thank him. My thanks to Ed.
Guess what we'll be talking about Wednesday?
Ah, a little debate action tomorrow
yep.
night. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.